You open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 12. We'll be reading a text from Luke chapter 12 as we continue our look into this commandment of Scripture that we are to learn to rejoice in the Lord always. It has been our congregational theme this year to learn what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. We all want to rejoice and we would like to do it all the time. And Scripture commands us to do that, but the missing element often is that word, that phrase, in the Lord. If we're going to learn to rejoice always, we've got to find our joys in the Lord. And one of the things that keep us from doing that are what these items we have been identifying as joy thieves. There are a number of joy thieves that encourage us to either find our joy in them or to try to distract us from finding our joy in the Lord. And today, we look at another joy thief, and that is the joy thief of the pleasures or the worries of the world. The worries of the world. That congregational theme verse is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And it's interesting that in that text, just one verse later, the Apostle Paul says, be anxious about nothing, or do not worry about anything. It's as though the Apostle Paul realizes that one of the things that's going to keep us from rejoicing in the Lord are the worries of this world. And so if we're going to find our joy in the Lord, we've got to learn to deal with this problem of worry, because worry has literally made many of us sick. We have been worried sick, and we've been worried to death in some cases. And worry is one of those things we've all got to deal with because we all face it. It shows up at our door unbidden quite often. And so we need to learn how to deal with this joy thief of worry. Or else it's going to rob us, and it's of our joy in the Lord, and it's going to have power over us to keep us from having the life God wants us to have. And the fact is there's a lot of things in life that cause worry. It comes to us all. Job was right when he wrote, man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. If our days are short, and those short days are full of trouble, we're going to have a lot of things to worry about. And that's the reason Jesus spent so much time teaching his disciples about how to deal with worry. Jesus was one who never, not on one occasion, allowed worry to overwhelm him. And so he can teach us how to rightly deal with this issue of worry. And he does that in Luke chapter 12. I hope you have your Bibles open with me. We're going to begin reading in verse 22. Luke 12, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses or barns, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither work nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God then so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all of these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms.
Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches or moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In this text, Jesus affirms the fact that we are all seekers. Whether we are believers in Christ or not, we are all seekers. We are made to crave. And he says there are people of the nations of the world, unbelievers, they seek after certain things. They want certain things. And as a result of what they seek, they worry about different things. And so the question this morning is not, are you a seeker? We are all seekers. But the question is, what are you going to seek? And in this text, what Jesus says is that most of the things that the things that most of the people in this world are seeking after will provide not peace, not joy, but rather worry. Most seek peace in things that are earthbound. They believe that if they have enough food, enough clothing, enough shelter, if everything is just right in the circumstances of their life, then they're going to find some peace. They're going to have joy. And what Jesus is teaching in this text is that that's a lie. That it is a lie to say that if we just have our circumstances exactly like we want them, and we don't have to be afraid of whether we're going to eat or whether we're going to sleep or where we're going to live or what we're going to eat, if we just don't have to be afraid of the future, then we can have peace. And Jesus says to us in this text, in no small terms, that's a lie. That's seeking what the world, what unbelievers seek after. And there's no doubt that most of the people in this world are seeking after a security for their future, aren't they? Most of us want to know that we're secure in our relationships for the future, secure in our finances for the future, secure in our comforts for the future. And as long as we feel like we've got our future secure, we think we can have peace. And Jesus is telling us that that is a poor foundation for peace. That in fact, if we have chosen to find our peace in the right people and the right place and the right possessions, we have just purchased a prescription for worry. Because that's all we're going to do. The world seeks what it seeks, and that's why they worry about what they worry about. But he says for disciples, it is to be different. That we are to seek, we are to have an ambition, but that ambition is to be about kingdom things. What pleases God, not what pleases us. It's what does God's will, not what does our will. It is seeking God's reign in our life and not doing what we want to do. And Jesus says that if we will seek the kingdom of God as the first place in our life, we have just purchased a prescription for peace. A prescription for joy that nobody and no circumstance can take away from us. And so the question this morning is really, what do we seek? Are we seeking the pleasures, the positions, the possessions, the comforts of this world, or are we seeking first God's rule and reign in our life and in this world? We're all seekers, but what do we seek? Well, I think that most of us as Christians know that we're supposed to be seeking first the kingdom of God. Yet, a lot of us are centering our life on worldly things nonetheless. We center our life. We wake up thinking of only worldly things. We're going to be happy if we get worldly things. We only think we're going to have peace if we have the right circumstances. So why do we do that? It seems to me there is at least two answers to that. Number one, we do that because we have bought the lie of the world. The lie of the world is if you have all of your relationships just like you want, your possessions exactly where you want them, your place, everything in its place, then you'll be happy. And we've bought to that lie. That's number one. Number two, reason we seek the things the world does is because we just don't trust that God is going to be able to provide for our future. And so we think that we've got to do it ourselves. You see, we get together on Sunday and we sing that God owns everything, and yet we deep down inside wonder if God's going to be able to provide it to us in time to meet our need. And we get together and we sing that God is going to be faithful to bring us to heaven. And we doubt whether He's going to be faithful to bring us through this day. And so it is either one of two things. It's either we are eat up with the worldly cares of life, the worries of this life, because, well, we've just bought the lie of the world, or we just don't trust God to really take care of us. In this text, Jesus teaches us how to deal with this worry of life. And first of all, what I want to point out is he talks about three things in this text that are true about worry when it comes to a believer. And the first thing is that worry has no place in the life of a believer because he says it's unnecessary. And the reason in this text he says it is unnecessary is because we have a benevolent Father. So we doubt that God is willing to provide, but in this text, Jesus is teaching in every way He can that a Christian can have confidence that our life is in the hands of a sufficient, benevolent Creator. And what Jesus is asking us to do is to realize that God is good and that He delights Himself in meeting our needs. And He said, if you want a lesson about that, I want you to go outside. I want you to take a theology lesson from the birds. You know the old saying, just go to the birds? Or that's for the birds? We can learn some lessons from the birds about God. And what Jesus said is that when you've been looking at the birds outside, have you ever seen a bird tear down his nest so that he can build a bigger nest? No. He doesn't build storehouses. Birds build nests which are required for their little eggs, and that's it. And God provides for them. And He said, have you ever been watching a bird and all of a sudden it just runs out of fuel in mid-flight, falls down, dead? No. God provides for their food and they get right where they're going. Jesus said, have you ever seen birds just struck with an anxiety attack? No. And the point that Jesus is making is, if God takes care of birds like that, and birds are not made in the image of God, and they are not meant to be co-heirs with Christ of the inheritance of God, and He takes care of birds like that, don't you think that He will take care of you? What's His point? God is good. That worry is unnecessary because God cares for us. You see, worry makes us forget about how much we are worth to God. And so we come to worship and we believe that God is able to get us into heaven, or at least we sing like that. But like I said, we wonder if God's going to be able to get us through the next day or not. Because worry makes us forget how valuable we are to God. Now, I want to be careful here because I want to show you three things that Jesus didn't say about these birds. First of all, Jesus' teaching about worry does not mean that we are exempt from earning a living. God does not make it rain worms. I mean, God gives those birds the beaks that they need and the ground around them and the worms underneath it. He has provided the resources and the abilities and He asks the birds to go and do it. course, it's a far cry from what most of us have. We're not living off of worms. We're living off of gold-plated worms. But nonetheless, this text does not indicate that worry, the Jesus' command not to worry, exempts us from earning a living. But secondly, Jesus' teaching about worry does not mean that you don't need to care about your neighbor. You know, if you see your neighbor in need, you say, well, Jesus told me not to worry. No. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus said that when you see a brother who's in need and you feed a hungry sister, you're actually doing that to him. And so when Jesus says, do not worry, he's not saying that you shouldn't be concerned about people's needs around you. And number three, Jesus' teaching about worry is not to say that you're never going to have trouble. In fact, in Matthew's account of this, Jesus talks about that sparrow or that raven that God takes care of. He also says that some of them fall to the ground dead. And Jesus and God know when that happens. And so just because we're commanded not to worry doesn't mean we're not going to have trouble. But what Jesus is saying is that God is able to provide every single need you have when your heart's desire is to see the kingdom glorified. And when you set your heart on God's will and God's kingdom, and if that's your goal, if that's what you're seeking, His promise is, you will not have to be worried. God will provide the needs that you have. And so we don't worry because it's unnecessary. God cares for us. God has promised that He is going to provide for us if we make sure we're seeking His kingdom. So worry is unnecessary if you know God. Secondly, worry is unproductive. By the way, this idea that worry is unnecessary if you know God, tonight we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4 and what it says about worry. And it's interesting to me in that text, he tells us, be anxious for nothing or do not worry about anything, but in prayer, give thanks to God. In other words, you spend enough time thinking about who God is and what God has provided, it alleviates the worry because it's unnecessary if you know God. Number two, worry is also unproductive. Worry cannot make you taller, Jesus said, and it cannot make you live another day longer. In fact, not only can worry not lengthen your life, worry can also can very much shorten your life. And worry can make the few days that you do have in this life more miserable than they need to be. In fact, I read a story about Thomas Carlyle, that famous English author. He had in his house, in his upstairs room, he had a room that was completely padded so that it would be soundproof, so that he could do his writing in there in silence. But he had a neighbor who had an old rooster, and that thing crowed three times every night. And as much as he could, Thomas Carlyle tried to shut out that noise, and he couldn't. He still heard that rooster every night. So he finally went over to his neighbor and he said, can you do something about your rooster? It's driving me nuts. And his neighbor said, oh, come on. It's just doing it three times a night. Surely that can't be bothering you that much. And Thomas Carlyle said, oh, but you don't know the pain I suffer waiting for it to crow. You ever feel that way? Quite unproductive, all that worry. You see, worry is about tomorrow. But when do we experience it? We experience it right now. And that, Jesus says, doesn't make any sense. Because God has promised to take care of tomorrow. And so what we need to do is just worry about one day at a time. And just deal with today instead of letting tomorrow destroy the joy that God wants us to have today. I read about a man who was talking to a friend and he said, I used to have a big problem with worry, but I realized that it was inconsistent with my being a Christian, and so I formed a Wednesday Worry Club, and I am its only member. His friend asked him, "Well, how does the club work?" He said, "I write down on a sheet of paper any worry that I have, and I stick it in the box, and on Wednesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I convene the meeting of the Worry Club. I pull out all of the worries, and I look at them." The man said, "Well, what happens?" His friend said, "Well, I find that 90% of my worries I can throw away because they're not worries anymore." And he said, "Well, what do you do with the other 10%? He said, "I put them back in the box till the next club meeting." Worry is unproductive. If we believe that God cares and that He's going to work things out according to His purpose, worry is unproductive. And I believe that the Apostle Peter is a good example of this. Peter is probably the best example of a worrier that I could find in Scripture. He is constantly worrying. One day he was out on the water with the Lord, walking on the water, and he got all worried about the wind and the waves and what would happen to him, and he began to sink. On another occasion, Jesus said, "I am going to a cross." And Peter got so anxious about it that he told the Lord to quit talking that way. Jesus said on one occasion, "One of you is going to betray me." And Peter got so upset, he wanted to know, which one is it going to be? Is it me? In John 21, Peter got so worried about what was going to happen to John. What's going to happen to John? Jesus said, "You got enough to worry about. Don't worry about John. You worry about what's going to happen to you." Peter was a worrier. And I think that's what makes 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 so much more powerful. Because there Peter says, "Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you." Someone said, "Give God your worries because He's going to be up all night anyway." You see, worrying can't fix it. But giving that worry to God is giving it to somebody who can. And so worry is unproductive because God has promised that He is going to give us what we need to be faithful and advance His kingdom that day. And then number three, worry, Jesus says, is unworthy of the disciple. Jesus says human beings are more than just bodies. They are created. We are created to be more than just a dummy to hang clothes on. We are made to be something more than just something to dress and something to drink and something to read. And worry over such matters as those things, as our possessions and our place and our people, is to misunderstand the purpose for us living in this world. Our living in this world is not about securing peace and pleasure for ourselves. That's the lie of the world. That's the lie of the world that says that life is basically about taking care of the body. In fact, do this sometime. I kind of hesitate to say do this because it means you're going to watch TV. So if you don't want to do this, I'm happy for you and you just take my word for it. But I think you know it's self-evident. Look at the commercials on television. And what are they constantly telling us? That the most important thing in our lives are our bodies. Our bodies have to look a certain way. Our bodies have to eat a certain thing. They have to drink a certain thing. They have to drive a certain thing. They've got to be a certain place. And if our bodies are all having all of those things just right, then we'll be happy. And that's the lie of the world that leads to nothing but worry, worry, worry. This exclusive preoccupation with material things can only be justified if the body and its survival is the most important thing. And the unbeliever would say, yes, your body and its survival is the most important thing. And the gospel teaches that is not right. The most important thing is that we're seeking first the kingdom of God, because these bodies are never going to be in the right place and have the right things and have the right cars and the right food and the right drink and the right people all the time. And when they don't, they will just be a source of worry. And so Jesus tells us that we were put on this earth to do more than just fuel and lubricate this machine we call a body. The reason we've been put on the world is to want most the kingdom of God and doing what He says. And so worry is not worthy of a Christian. Yeah, it's understandable people who don't believe in the Lord would worry. But for a Christian, it's unworthy of our efforts. Our efforts need to be devoted to something better. God has saved us for something better. Now, this text teaches us why worry should have no place in our life. But what I'd like to do quickly is look at two other texts that I describe as the fallout of worry. When we allow worry into our life, even though it's unworthy of our lives, and even though it's unproductive and unnecessary, when we allow worry into our life, what happens? Well, number one, worry strangles your spiritual life. It will strangle your spiritual life. In fact, do you know where we get our English word worry from? Worry is a German word which means to choke. Worry chokes out your spiritual life. And that's exactly what Jesus said it did in Mark chapter 4. If you have your Bibles and look at Mark chapter 4, what you find there is that Jesus is teaching the parable of the sower. And He talks about the seed, the Word of God, and that it goes and it lands upon a person's heart. And in this particular person's heart, it lands in their heart and it begins to grow and they begin to produce some fruit. It looks like they're growing, that they're maturing in Christ and everything is going well, except for the fact that in that same soil are seeds of worldliness, seeds of earthly concerns, seeds of earthly pleasures, seeds of worldly worries. And those are down in there as well. And so when we're finally starting to spring up and we're about to reach the sun of God's will for our life, here comes some worry, some worldly concern, and it sticks up there and it blocks the sun and we wither away. And then we try to grasp ahead and we're going to grow in our faith this time. This time we're not going to let it get us, and we start to grow a little bit more. And then here comes this thorn coming up beside us of worldly worry, and it sticks in our side. And all we can think about then is that worldly worry. And we've forgotten about the Lord and His will and His people and His work in this world, because all we are seized with is our fear about that possession and that place, and those people, and those things. And we feel quite justified saying, well, listen, I've got a lot of worries. I've got a lot of concern in my life. I just don't have time for spiritual things right now. And it strangles our spiritual health. And this is what Jesus said about it. Now, these are the ones who are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in, choke out the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world can paralyze faith. It can stop spiritual growth. It can strangle our hope And it can ultimately take our hearts away from God. So, these worries of the world, these fears of the future, these concerns for earthly things, we need to learn to deal with them. Because if not, they will keep us from the Lord. Secondly, not only will worries keep us from the Lord, they'll also throw us to the devil. Because the second thing we learn about the fallout of worry is that worry is an engraved invitation to the devil to come visit me. When I worry, when you worry, it is an invitation to the devil, come visit me. Come guide me. We read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 a minute ago, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Have you ever noticed that the very next verse says, so be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. There's somebody else seeking in this world. And those who seek after the world and its ways and its concerns, as a roaring lion who is seeking after them. So if we do not take advantage of that command to cast all of your anxieties, all your cares, it's the same word, upon him because he cares for you. If we don't do that, we've got an adversary, a roaring lion, who's seeking to destroy us. And one of the best ways he does it is through worldliness. And then what happens is that when we allow these seeds of worry and doubt and distrust to germinate in our lives, the fruit is despair and denial and worldly driven decisions. And so we're all going to have concerns. We're all going to be seeking after things. But the question is, what are our concerns and what are we seeking after? Is it worldly peace and security and safety? Is it making sure that my future is secured for myself? Or is the concern of each day, what am I going to do today that shows myself and the world around me that Jesus is my Lord and that I'm living by His commands and He's the most important thing to me? One is the path of worry, and the other path is the path of joy. Well, this morning you may be anxious because you know that you're not in a right relationship with God. You might fear what is going to be happening to you in eternity because you're not right with the Lord. That is a good fear. That fear in the Scripture is called the fear of the Lord, and the fear of the Lord causes us to find wisdom, according to the Proverbs 1, verse 9. Fear of the Lord causes you to grow in wisdom. And so if you fear this morning that you're not right with the Lord, that there are sins that would keep you judged in His presence, then God has provided a way for you to deal with that anxiety, that fear. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And so maybe this morning what you need to do is you need to believe in Jesus, that He died for your sins, that He is going to be your judge. And that this morning you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And the promise of Jesus is, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins. You will be saved. And you won't have to have worry to stand before Him in judgment. And it may be that you're a Christian here today and you realize that your life has been eaten up by worry and that has been strangling your spiritual life and the devil has been having a heyday with you because of it. Today is the day then that you can confess that worry and trust in the Lord who cares for you. John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thankfully, God has wanted us not to live our lives with the fear and the worries of this world. And He has taught us a better way of living, a way where we can find forgiveness for our sins and a way that we can find hope for our future. And it's not based upon our strength and our abilities. It is based upon our trust in Him and our obedience to His will. And so if you're here this morning, you need to respond to the gospel. If you need to be baptized into Christ this morning, we'd love to help you do that. If you're a Christian here today and you need to offer prayers to ask God to help you deal with some sin in your life so that you can be cleansed and free from it, we'd love to help you do that today. But if you have any need to respond to the gospel call of Christ today, why don't you do that? We're going to stand and sing the song, and you can come to the front.